Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 18. This is one of them sermons where you can't take the shoe off and pass it to someone else. Because the Father said to me that every last one of us are guilty in one measure or another. So sometimes if the shoe doesn't fit, pass it to someone else. God has something he wants to say to every one of us today. And one of the things that I want you to get into your heart this morning, to begin with, I got to fix my shoe or I won't feel comfortable. Thank the Lord that he had me put slip-on shoes on today. Hallelujah. That there's always two sides to every story. And we have a tendency to hear one side of a story and then pass it on as truth. And that becomes a lie because we truly don't know the truth. The Lord reminded me, and I got really a healing early in ministry when we planted this ministry. There was lies that were spoken about us. And when the lies were spoken, there's so many people that just took to one side and believed the lie. And they started, and they formed an opinion, and they started telling everyone this story, but they never really knew the truth. Amen. And God's saying to us is so important in these last days, and we're expecting our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones to come to the Lord. We have to get things right. Amen. God always does things decently, and he does them in order. So in parts of this today, you might get a little ouch. Amen. Amen. But know that the ouch is coming with the Father's love. Amen. And the Lord loves us so much, he wants to minister to us right where we're at, but love on us so much that we don't stay there, that we move and allow him to do a work in our hearts and lives. So in Proverbs chapter 18, the name of the Lord, verse number 10, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. In other words, this is our answer. You know, years ago when this happened in our lives, with my wife and myself and my children were really angry at the church. My children were really angry at the body of Christ because they were hurt and they saw the hurt of their parents. Amen. And so we got to be careful. We're not in the hurt business. Amen. We're to build people up. We're to encourage people. We're to love people. But he says in verse number 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Today I want to speak to you this morning. The title of the message is The Other Side. And we're talking about the other side of the story. We're going to look at the haughtiness, the humility, and the hearsay. Amen. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. So, Father, just as Isaiah prayed of old, I pray again, Father God, place those coals upon my lips because I'm a man of unclean lips. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room and on the Facebook and on the website. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor will be yours. Father, if there's any here that do not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. For those that have drifted away, may this be the day of the return. And for the entire body of Christ, may we be encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, when the Lord first placed this word in my heart, I've been fighting him. You know, you remember the old song is, I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. Well, I fought the Lord and the Lord won. Amen. Amen. So first off, he wants to speak to us about the haughtiness. And one of the things that's happening in the body of Christ is we see the sins of everyone else, but we don't see the sins of ourselves. In other words, our sins don't matter. It's like we see sin and all of a sudden we've got this scale. Well, your sin's a 10 and mine's only a 2, and God's not really worried about my 2. God wants you to understand that every sin is a 10. Amen? And God is not a man that he should lie, so he told us in his word what we should expect. So first I want to talk to you a little bit about haughtiness. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, the prophet Samuel says in verse 26, and we're looking about the love and the mercy of God. God loves us no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. God loves us and he has a plan and a purpose in our life. You know, I was reminded when the Lord came into my room and called me and delivered me from my addiction and called me into ministry, I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. He wasn't lost, I was. Hello? Amen. And the word of God tells you and I in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26. He said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thy eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. So the prophet Isaiah, in speaking about this haughtiness or this pride, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 11. The word of God says this. It says, the lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Let me say something with everyone in the house. God does not share his glory with no one. Amen. What we're doing is for the kingdom of God. We're doing it for his glory and for his honor. Amen. What he constantly reminds me, and what he'll constantly wants to remind you, is where did he find you? Where were you when he found you? Don't forget where he found you when you're ministering to someone new. Amen. Amen. Because God's mercies are new every morning. It's by grace, God's grace, that we minister his love to a lost and dying world. And we can't be stiff-necked people. Amen. We find in the Old Testament what God did with stiff-necked people. Amen. And he says to you and I in his word in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. Solomon in Proverbs is one of the wisest men ever. And the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what Solomon is saying here in verse number 10, Only by pride cometh contention. Wait. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. If there's strife, contention, division, God says it's all, the root is always pride. Amen? Amen? And that's what the adversary uses to bring division in the body of Christ. Amen? Strife and division. Amen? And Solomon said in Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Are y'all with me? Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
When he was speaking to me, I said, I had to say oh me. Oh me. Amen. How many gets prideful? Come on. Let's be real. Come on. Huh? Come on. I try to be walk humble, but I get pride comes in. But the Lord tells me this in Proverbs 16, 18. He said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Amen. So what he is saying to us, first and foremost, he wants to speak to the haughtiness. Then he says, the humility. God wants to say to us in Proverbs chapter 22, and we're talking about the humble. The Lord tells us in his word to sow to ourselves in righteousness, and then we reap in mercy. We're breaking up the fallow ground around our hearts that the Lord may rain upon us and his glory may be seen upon us. Solomon said in Proverbs 22, verse number 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Are you looking for the better things of the Lord? Are you looking to walk in the blessings of God? If you're looking to walk in the blessings of God, you come with him with the spirit of humility and humble. We're humbly serving one another. We're humbly putting others in front of ourselves. In the world, I used to be an international businessman. And as an international businessman, I would take to have. I didn't care who I took it from. I had sales teams and marketing teams all around the nation and all around the world, and I would take to have. But when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and made him the Lord of my life, he changed my heart, and now in the kingdom of God, I give to receive. Give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. As you give, other men shall give unto you. Amen. So the mentality has changed. We're not the same. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as we're walking in this newness of life, God says, put away that prideful spirit, put away that haughtiness, and come before me and others humbly. I'm a humble servant. Jesus came as a humble servant. He didn't come to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came as a humble servant, and he said, follow me. Follow me. We're following his example. Oh, we have all authority in the name of Jesus. Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. But he said, come follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And as we're fishing for men, we fish for men in humility. We're not looking down at our nose at people that are caught up in darkness. We're not looking down our nose at people that are addicted. We're not looking down our nose at people that are in bondage. We're looking at, we're getting down. He said, I became all things so I could win some. I got to reach them right where they're at. That means I got to come off of my high horse, and I got to come down and minister to people right where they're at. Amen. I don't know about you, but their love has been perverted. The devil has perverted the love to make them think that love was real, and they haven't witnessed the pure love of God. And the pure love of God comes with no conditions on it. Amen. We're loving them just like they are, and we're waiting for God to do the work. He didn't call any of us to change anybody. He called us to love them right where they're at, to trust Him with it, and He'll transform and change their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. And as this harvest of souls comes in, there's going to come in with all kinds of colors and different plays and different backgrounds and different things. Just love them right where they're at. Amen. Just let God's love flow through you and let them know that somebody cares for them, that someone loves for them. You know, so many people come from broken families and broken houses and from parents that never loved one another and never shared them love. And they're looking for love, and they found that love in all the wrong places. And God wants you to know He wants to love them right where they're at. And He's going to love them so much He's not going to leave them there. Amen. Just like He did a work in you, He's going to do a work in them. Hallelujah. I keep my distance because I spit when I preach. Hallelujah. I think I took it literally when the Lord said I need to spit out the word. Your pastor's also corny, okay? Is it okay being a little corny? Is it all right? Amen. It gives everybody a little laugh once in a while. And Romans chapter 12, let's look and see what the Apostle Paul, let's get to. And verse number 3, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He said in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We have a tendency sometimes to think our gift is greater than others. Hello? God wants you to know that everybody's gift is important, and everybody's gift has value, and everybody's gift has worth. Amen? Amen? Hey, I'm no more gifted than anyone else. I operate in a certain gift, and you operate in a certain gift. You have a gift that I don't have, and I have a gift that you don't have. That don't mean that God doesn't use us all. Amen. Amen. And God wants you to understand how valuable and how important you are to the kingdom of God. Amen. That He placed something in you that can only be manifested through you. Wait a minute. What are you saying, Pastor? He says He created you with a personality that no one else has. No one else is like you. There's not another like you. And God puts a gift in us that only comes out in and through us, through our personality, to reach people from us. So that's why it means that every last gift is important. Every last gift is valuable, and every last person is valuable to the kingdom of God. But the Apostle Paul says, and Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Are y'all with me? Yes. Hallelujah. Is this one of the most fun messages to preach? Hello? Hello? Hey, is the Lord dealing with anybody? Come on. Come on. Is He dealing with anybody? Amen. God said He was going to deal with every last one of them because He said every one of us, by some measure or not, another is guilty. Amen. So I'm not looking down my nose at anybody. I'm right with you, man. You know, as I'm speaking, He's ministered to me too. Hey, you know, the Holy Spirit don't leave me out. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, go tell them something out. You know, it's okay with you, but you just go tell them that. No, the Holy Spirit says, you have a work that I need to do in you. Amen. Amen. And understand that we're all a work in progress, that none of us have arrived. That we're ever learning, never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. Nobody's arrived yet. If you arrived, you're no longer here. You're already in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So look at the one next to you and say, you haven't arrived yet. But thank God for the journey. He was praying for me. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to go here for a minute just for a little more instruction. Verse number 5 says, likewise ye younger. Wait a minute. He's not talking to children. He's talking to younger in Christ. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Amen. In other words, we're to submit to one another. If you want me to help you, you have to submit to my authority to help you. If you won't submit to my authority, I can't help you. All we will do is butt heads. And what happens with butt heads? Strife. Every evil work. Division. There's confusion that comes. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. So first he says to us, he's dealing with the haughtiness, the pride. He calls us to be humble, the humility, and not to give in to the hearsay. The hearsay. Amen? Because people get hurt by hearsay. Somebody said something that wasn't true, and then everybody started talking about it, and everybody was lying and talking about it. It never was true to begin with. So he says to us, go with me to Proverbs chapter 18, back to our text. Proverbs 18, verse number 6. Solomon says this. He says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And as I opened up, when people were talking about us and saying things that weren't true, it hurt us. It hurt us. It hurt my wife and I, and it hurt our children. But God healed us, but there was pain that was there. And God wants you to know those tale-bearing words bring pain. And those words that you're speaking into the atmosphere, the adversary is grabbing a hold of them, and he's feeding the people on what you're speaking. And that's why the Word of God says to you and I in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Now he's going to get down to the real. How many like camping and campfires? Come on, you like campfires and stuff? In other words, now God's going to bring it down to the level where you have some understanding. And Proverbs 26, verse number 20. He said, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Where there's no wood, the fire is going to go out, right? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Again, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Amen. So the Apostle Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 2, say, oh me, ouch. Oh me, ouch. Ouch, ouch. I was going to Philippians, that's where I was going. I get to flip the page of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2. Here's the Apostle Paul, And he's writing to the church of Philippi. And every time there's a letter that's written to the church, it's written to the church. How many are in here of the church? Doesn't matter. Greatest Freedom Ministries, you're not part of the church because you're at Greatest Freedom Ministries. You're a part of the church because you're part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. This is the location where this body gathers together, but we're across all the children of God across the nation are the body of Christ. So when he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to the body of Christ. Amen. Remember, if the shoe fits, wear it. So he says here to the church, and verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which also it was also in Christ Jesus, was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So in closing today, what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is simply this. When we're haughty and prideful and we do not have humility, we buy the hearsay, and with the hearsay we bring humiliation to others. God didn't call any of us to humiliate anyone. To humiliate is to bring shame or dishonor. And God didn't call us to do that. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16, he reminds you, just as he reminded Jackie and I, we were in an office on Hillcrest Drive. I'll never forget the day where the Lord came in and healed our hearts that were hurt, that were offended, that were broken. Because he loves us so much and he loves you so much. And those things that were said against you, there is nothing you could do to change those things that have been spoken, but to release them to the Lord. And realize who you are. You're a child of the living God. No matter what happened yesterday, yesterday is gone. Behold, today's a brand new day. So we have to let those things of the past go. You can never live in the present by living in the past. You can't carry yesterday with you today. It's already done. There's nothing you can do to change what happened yesterday. But the word of God says to the body of Christ, in verse number 16 of 1 Peter 4, yet if any of you, any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I grew on that day at Hillcrest Drive. And what happened is the Lord said this to me. He said, son, if they're talking about you, they're leaving someone else alone. He said, I already took it for you on the cross of Calvary. I already paid the price for everything that they're saying and everything they're doing. Trust me in it, and I will carry you through it. But if you don't trust me in it, you'll remain in it. And he says, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him, and well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Father wants you to know something today, church. Would you give your heart to Jesus? God will come in. He'll do a work in you. But He wants you to understand that the devil does not like it. And that it's a fight. That it's a battle. He's called you and I to fight the good fight of faith, lay a hold of eternal life, where we are called and profess a good testimony before many witnesses. What is God saying to you and I in closing today? He is saying this. He is saying, He's speaking, don't be haughty, church. Humble yourself. Don't buy into the hearsay. Wait a minute. Oh, the Lord wants to say something. The Lord gives us instructions. If you have something with someone or somebody's offended you, the Bible gives us instructions of what to do. Number one, you go to them privately. You don't talk to other people about it. You don't talk to your pastor about it. You go to them privately. And if they don't receive you, then you get a witness. And if they don't receive it, then it's brought before the church. Amen. Amen. God gives us instructions how to keep from humiliation coming. Amen. And He says to us, the steps of a good man or woman has been ordered by the Lord, and they find delight in the way when they follow His way, not their own. Amen. Let us bow our heads and let us pray. Father, I'm grateful, Father God, for Your word. You're grateful that You sent Your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. Father, first and foremost, Your word declares, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the mountains at the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, for those that are listening today, may they recognize and realize that You have a call in their life. And as You beckon them, Father God, that what they're trying to accomplish in their life, they need You. The adversary has kind of confused them to let them think they can do it in their own strength and their own power. But Your word declares He's a liar and He's the father of all lies. So Your word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Father, as we're closing the service today, if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and maybe you do not know Jesus, or maybe one time you knew Him, but you're not in that place, and you feel Him knocking on your heart's door, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Don't be afraid. Will you? Anybody? See their hand. Anybody else? God isn't going to force Himself on anyone. Hallelujah. Now, Father, You sent Your word to do something in our heart. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But flesh arises. So right now, in the closing moments of this service today, If you've had strife, contention, either you've been hurt or you've hurt others. It's none of my business. It's between you and the Lord. But I'm going to ask you to do something by the Spirit of God. If you've been hurt or you've hurt others and you feel the Lord minister to your heart, I just want you, you don't have to stay there. It's an act of faith. I would like for you just to get up and walk to the altar and release it and go sit back down. Say this, you've been desiring and looking things from the Lord, and the Lord says, stop. Stop right now and release it to Him. He's given you an opportunity to be free. He's given you an opportunity to set others free. Will you act upon it? Hallelujah.